Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm a very excited Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Saving Me by Starlight and Campbell from our third studio album set for release on the 1st of September in 2023 on independent record label Supertone Records.
Blimey. Well, it's been taking quite a long time to get that together. Excitedly, we're playing one track per week from the new album on the show. And that's the first one on the first track from the album. And it's very interesting because when it starts off, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It starts off with that ferocious bass guitar. Now, just tell me about what you, because there's something quite different what you were doing on this album
tell
with the bass.
Tell me about it. Well, it was, I've got to say, I've got to thank Spencer Lull for Mike Lull Guitars because I've got this amazing custom Starlight T4. Bright red, she looks great. Sounds like a dragon. And for the first time, I put rang-rams on the strings, which makes it more zingy. So it's a little bit more troublesome. So it's like this ferocious beast. And then added to the mix, I've got this pick, which I never really used to. I like to play in my fingertips. And sort of, so this is the first big album that I've actually been playing, like these thunderous riff grooves with a pick and these rang-ram strings that just zingy all over. And then we reamp the bass through a Hudson Broadcast pedal into my Hi-Watt DR-201 through the Bergantino 6 by 10-inch speakers, and it's like the bowels of doom, and it feels brilliant. I love it.
Well, we did a little short video shot on it the other day,
and did,
I was talking about the reamping of the bass, and the reason why we've got to reamp it is that you play so fucking loud. So we can't actually record the bass whilst recording the drums. So
I'm emotional.
We record them straight into the console, but yeah. So, but it sounds incredible, and you've got to. It really has opened up the sound of the. It's a lot more rocky now.
I think.
It sounds a lot more rock and roll.
I tell you what, I don't think I've ever sweated so much in my life like playing because it just. I am an emotional player, and I just, it just got me. Just that, because I love the grooves. I love dancing. I just love all that. And
well, we did spend a bit of time in hospital when you were extracting, or they were extracting the picks from up my ass.
That's true, when you suggested it. I was like, you know what you could do with that. So we're talking about the bass and the reamping, but this is like the first time that you started playing keyboards. So how was that for you? How did it feel?
Well, it's been a really interesting thing. I mean, I've always been really interested in keyboards, and in my earlier, in my first band, and stuff, but certainly the ones that got signed, there was a lot of keyboards in it, but I never played them. Although I've always done a lot of programming, drum programming and stuff, and I thought this time I'd actually get stuck in. So I've been, but you're the musician, you play all the difficult stuff, you know, you play all the stuff where it requires more than three fingers to play. But I've been doing a lot of arpeggios and a lot of that sort of stuff. Yeah, and a lot of the bass, synths and stuff, and drums. And
I really love that. So we've got this Moog
Matriarch. Yeah. So we've got the Moog Matriarch. We've got the Moog Minotaur.
We sat in the studio, by the way, so they're right by us.
Yeah, and the Sequential Tempest, which also you can use as a synthesizer. So I've been using those three, really. Those are my three tools, and you've been using the Sequential Prophet 5 and the Waldorf STVC.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about those next week, I think.
Ooh.
But it's been great. And the only thing I would say is that, I mean, this time it really has been very intense in terms of even worse than last time. I say worse because it is very hard, this, to do everything ourselves, to record and detach yourself from the recording and the artistic performance when you're actually mixing and doing the production as well. It really is hard because, you know, we do everything. We mic shit up. You know, we set everything else up. We actually do everything. And it's been so intense. And every time I finish, I'm never going to do that again.
No.
And we need to collaborate. We need to get somebody in. But, you know, we're independent musicians and there's a cost, you know. There's a cost implication, isn't there?
And I see that, though. But I've learned so much just watching you work on the mix as well. So with the Starlight One album, so we wrote, recorded and arranged it all. And as we were mixing it, sometimes we'd fix something up, but then I'd leave you to it. And it's an incredible art, which will take a lifetime to learn. And I know that you've been producing and mixing for years and, you know, years, all your life, really, since you were a professional musician at 17.
Yeah.
So, but it's a craft. And so coming in with fresh ears and then having that extra bit where you go, how does it make you feel? You know, is it balanced? Can we hear everything? And also being, I think what I've loved about doing this Starlight One album with you is that because we have new instrumentation and, you know, I come from a folk background as well, it was lovely just to get back to the song or without any expectation of genre.
Mm.
So it's still us. It's still melodic. It's still groovy. It's still passionate. But we've had no genre limitations, have we?
We haven't known. We've just basically done what we want, but we've based it very much about the fact that I've not done any guitar solos on the record. It's one on there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of motifs. It's a lot of interesting guitar sounds, like on there, you know. I mean, that all that arpeggiated stuff was massive, you know. I mean, it was fiendishly loud in the studio and feeding back, and then the baritone on there as well. But it really has been interesting. But just, we are going to talk about the lyrics on these tracks as well, and that is about organised religion, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, because we've both been subjected to the religious experience at some point in our lives.
Well, yeah, the first part of my education was in one of those type of schools, really, when I wasn't actually part of that faith system, but it was a good education. But it does have a scarring effect on your... on some of your life, you know. And I'm interested in spirituality, but I just sometimes think people get in the way and ruin it, don't they?
Well, they do. It's the organised religion.
A lot of the time.
You know, but people have got faith and all that. But every war that's ever been, really, has been created by religion of some description.
Yeah.
So, and that's our thing. And I mean, the thing that I took off the, when we were writing it, because we wrote the lyrics between us, and it was that diabolical Pope, you know, who wouldn't allow Ratzlinger, who we call him, who wouldn't allow condoms, you know, during the AIDS epidemic, and there were you know, hundreds of thousands of people in Africa dying because they wouldn't do that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Perhaps a bit deep, but there you go.
So, now, yeah.
Just talk to me just before we move on to the next track, then, about the album cover.
Ah.
Well, you did it. You actually created it with a collage,
yes,
didn't you?
Well, it all started off, in brief, I had this dream one night where there were six chimpanzees under the stairs, and this frond, like an alien, was coming through, and I had to rescue the chimps from this alien frond that was trying to eat them. So then we started off with like a playlist that we've got, and I called it Six Friendly Monkeys Under the Stairs.
You did.
And this is months ago. So we were just making a compilation, really, of a playlist of all the tracks that we were inspired by, massive genres from music concrete to anything, Os Mutantes through to Bach, just to everyone. And then Jacques Brel, of course, and Scott Walker.
Well,
of course. And so when it came to the Starlight One album cover, I really wanted to, I've been doing some collage artwork as part of the Starlight One multimedia thing, because this is a big project, which is more collage and writing stories, where, you know, it's a big umbrella, really. But we also wanted to call this music album Starlight One. And I've got us on the front with us monkeys or chimps.
Well, I've got to say, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever
seen.
It's a bit
bonkers.
And every time I go into, because we've got the studio here, and Susie's like got a room out there with all her basses and keyboards and stuff.
But there's a meaning to it as well, though.
And every time I've gone in, darling, all I've seen is monkeys. Yeah. Everywhere there's monkeys being cut out. There's monkeys on the screen. There's monkeys all over. The chimpanzees. It's been unbelievable.
Well, see, the thing is, so the collage artwork, so the front cover, when you see it, it's on the internet now. It's on our website, Starlight, LITE-Campbell.com. And you've got the world's first slot machine. And if you look closely, you'll see that there are two planet Earths that look like bombs, and there's one on the slot machine that's like a nuclear explosion, and it's us playing slot machine with the future of the Earth. And if you look closer, you'll see a couple of hounds, miniature hounds there.
Astro Bob. With a space suit.
Yeah, and there's Homoko as well, and us, I know. And so, I mean, it really is. It is about right now. And also, I've just finished the collage artwork for the inset of the vinyl gatefold, which is 180 gram milky clear. In fact, the lacquers were cut yesterday at Abbey Road.
Absolutely.
In London town. So it's and mastered by John Astley, who's worked with Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, The Who. So, I mean, we really have given everything to try and get this album to you. It sounds immense.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying.
Zombies, She's Not There, their debut single released on the 24th of July 1964 on Decca in the UK and Parrot, ooh, is that on his shoulder, a division of London Records in the US. It reached number 12 in the UK singles charts in September and number 2 in the Billboard Hot 100 in the United States and Canada. Also featured on their debut album, Begin Here.
The Zombies.
Of course.
What?
This is not the best version of it. It's the original, but it's not the best. The best one is the Santana version.
Give over. You're being contentious.
I know I am, but it's the Santana version is amazing. It's Carl Santana's very best and all that. But we're not talking about Santana tonight. We're not talking about anything. What we're talking about is the Pioneer Club. We're talking about St. Albans because we're going to be playing there in September.
On the 29th of September.
On our tour for this album, Starlight One. And there's a few members of the Zombies that were born there, one of them being the mighty Wad Argent.
Rodney.
One of the greatest UK keyboard players, organist. And over the past few weeks, you've listened to the show, you will know that we love organist Vincent Crane, John Lord, Keith Emerson, all these great keyboard players. And he is one right up there, Rod Argent. So let's talk about him.
Rodney. So we're actually doing our first date of our tour at the Pioneer. And as every week, I get so excited when I look at the history because of the area. So Rod and his cousin Jim Rodford were both born in St. Albans. And like a lot of British kids at the time, they were prime targets of music from another planet, as they said, that arrived in 1956. Rock and roll, baby. So by the end of the 2 minutes and 14 seconds of Elvis's Hound Dog, Rodney knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to start his own band. And also Jim, his cousin, was in a band called the Blue Tones. So that's when he got bitten by the music bug, really. And he started listening to like Johnny Hooker, Dave Brubeck, Bartok. And it says here, these Catholic tastes would serve him well.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So I love this. In 1961, Rod met up with a bunch of mates outside the Blacksmith's Arms in St. Albans and walked a few yards down the road to the Pioneer Youth Club where they held their very first rehearsal. They renamed themselves the Mustangs, Sundowners, finally decided they were going to be called the Zombies, and they started to tour the local area extensively in the youth clubs and the town halls, Wellwind Garden City Liberal Club, and went fully professional in 1964. And that May, the Zombies won the Hearts Beat competition to find the top beat group in the country. And a month later, they were at Decca Studios to record four songs.
Wow. That's
in
amazing.
Those days, it's amazing, isn't it? And one of the songs was She's Not There. and it made pop history. It became the first self-penned American number one on the cash box chart since the Beatles conquered the US, a fact that even made, it was even on the BBC's 9 o'clock news.
No.
Yeah, it became a worldwide hit. So there you go, the Zombies.
Well, Colin Blunstone, I mean, he's always been great as well, you know. He had a great solo career and stuff, and, you know, he's a great singer.
I think Rod worked a lot with him on that, didn't he, really, yeah, as well, because on his solo career.
So there you go.
There you go.
Rod.
And the Zombies.
Thank you.
Legend. Hold Your Head Up, released as a single in February 1972 on Columbia Records. It also featured on their third album, All Together Now. And the song was a top five hit in the US, the UK and the Canadian charts, peaking at number five in all three countries. Written by Chris White, but also credited to the songwriting partnership between Chris and Rod Argent, who produced the song, and recorded at Abbey Road, Londinium.
Where our album was mastered. Cut, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Infectious Rocker, of course it is. It's that guitar line, ba-da-da-da, is just unbelievable. Every time I hear it, it makes me go cold. It's so beautiful. It's so magnificent. It's great sound. It's sensitivity when he plays at the beginning, you know, and then the end, those dang da da. Great timing as well. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Great keyboards, of course. Great keyboard solo. No Leslie was used in there. I think it was probably through a big mouse lamp again. Real gritty, bit John Lloyd-y, you know. Absolutely fantastic. What a great song. And I've got the single. And it's one of the first things I learnt on guitar.
Ba-da-da. Really?
Yes, it is indeed. But this is all about Rod Argent, who, of course, is from St Albans, who met and had a first rehearsal with his first band at the Pioneer Club. We were playing on the 29th of September.
St Albans, also where our best friend, your brother from another mother, Jez Leary from Eyes and St Albans lives.
Yes, indeed.
So we love St Albans. We love Jez.
And we do.
And he rocks our glasses for us, doesn't he?
He is our eyewear designer. Yes, he designed our eyewear. Yes,
he
styles us.
He styles us, yeah.
Currently, we're wearing Kirk and Kirk, which he got us involved, which is brilliant, Jason Kirk and the team. Right, anyway, so...
So, we love St Albans. We spend a lot of time there when we're over touring as well. So, after the Zombies have broken up, when their single Time of the Season was actually becoming a worldwide hit in 1969, Rodney put together a new band called Argent, which was to be part of, he wanted it to be part of this sort of progressive rock scene that was burgeoning at the time. Great word, that, burgeoning.
It is.
So 7 years. So we had cousin Jim Rodford, also born in St Albans, on bass, Russ Ballard and Bob Henrit on drums.
Just before we carry on, Russ Ballard, of course, he wrote some of the greatest rock songs ever to be recorded. God Gave Rock and Roll to You. That was covered by Kiss. Since You've Been Gone from Rainbow, which I remember seeing. The Apollo in Manchester. Unbelievable. Richie Blackmore at his very finest. It was amazing. Anyway, that's Russ Ballard, of course, who played guitar on that. But anyway, back to
Russ.
Russ.
Absolutely brilliant. Well done, lad.
Cool guy.
I know. And their debut album actually took them into the American top 10. So by the time they disbanded, I think it was around, 1975, they'd released 7 studio albums.
No.
Yeah, it's a great innings, eh?
Bloody hell.
Be embraced, billions.
One last kiss, and this kiss for the whole world.
nothing comes between us.
Enter Shakiri. A Kiss for the Whole World, the title track from their seventh studio album released on the 21st of April 2023 on their independent record label, Ambush Reality, great name, went straight to number one in the UK albums charts. And the album, interesting, was recorded using solar power in a rundown farmhouse. And the vocalist and producer, Rue Reynolds, described it as a collection of songs to represent an explosive reconnection with what the band is all about. And it's interesting because this band has a lot of connection with the Pioneer Club, as you will hear in a minute. But the thing is that really excites about this band is that their debut album, Take to the Sky, sold 200,000 copies. And it was the first album to achieve a significant chart success for a new act operating outside the traditional label system. So they do it all themselves, which is absolutely fantastic. That means they make all the money themselves, all the labels themselves. It's brilliant. And they're from St Albans. Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. And I remember Jez mentioning the band to us. So it's like another connection.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I know. St Albans. So they were formed in 1999 by bassist Chris Batten, lead vocalist and keyboardist Rue Reynolds, drummer Rob Rolfe, and in 2003, guitarist Rory Clulow. And then that's when they changed their name to Enter Shakiri, which was named after Rue's uncle who had a boat called Shakiri.
Is that right?
Apparently, Shikari is a Hindi word for hunter.
Hunter.
It's funny, I watched a video interview with Rue actually this afternoon because I just wanted to get a bit of a sense of who he was like, what he was like as a person. And he had a bit of a writer's block through lockdown, unlike him. And it was almost like he said the band didn't exist because he just didn't write. He didn't, it wasn't like usually a week or a month. And so I think that's why they just wanted to get this farmhouse. He said it was on Airbnb, but the guy had forgotten to take it off because they'd had complaints. There was no central heating. It was off-grid, completely away from nowhere, you know. And it was a bit ramshackle, but they just needed a space. And I think they were for about 6 or 7 weeks. And he was saying as a producer, he's more into the vibe than the purist thing, you know, because he said you can go into these massive, great, big, expensive studios and you're told where to put the drums and the same mics and you're ending up kind of doing an album like everyone else. And I guess I think as guys as well, they just needed to get back, you know, because this is their seventh album.
Yeah.
Find their mojo again.
Material to, you know, to do, and they've done incredibly well. I think that they sponsor St Albans Football Club as well.
Do they?
Yeah, that's right, because Jez's brother, Lawrence, actually has a lot to do with it. I think he owns part of it, something. So anyway, really cool.
It's great. So this is all about the Pioneer Club, because we're kicking off our Starlight and Campbell UK tour on Friday, the 29th of September.
Correct.
So excited. And when you look into the history of the Pioneer Club, do you know it survived multiple threats because Tesco keep wanting to buy it and
Is
turn
right?
it into a supermarket?
No.
Absolutely. So, but it says it's still trying to survive in they call it the brutal modern landscape for music venues in the UK. And it is brutal, actually. And it would be a tragedy if we lost it, because obviously, you know, you've got all the history of the bands that we play tonight. You've got Enter Shakiri, you've got the Zombies, you've got Argent. And so now it's a registered charity and they've got vital funding actually from the band Enter Shakiri themselves. So, and also it's a youth club, and it's the country's oldest skate park.
That's right, yeah. And yeah. George Batten and Andy Batten, they booked us for this yeah. gig. So obviously, they're obviously family. We don't yeah. have a connection yet. I'm sure we will
well,
do
after Chris,
a couple
yeah,
of pints.
Chris Batten, bassist, bass, yeah. Grace brother, will get on fine. Friendly Fires. Skeleton Boy, released as the fifth single from their self-titled album in March 2009 on the XL Recordings record label. The album was released 6 months earlier and peaked at number 21 on the UK albums charts.
Well,
I don't really know the band, actually.
No, well, you know, I've sort of had a dalliance with them over the years.
Have
I keep
you?
Hearing, yeah, I
Have
keep
you?
Hearing bits of stuff here and there, okay. you know, from them. And I always thought they were very. It always had a very exciting sound. They're always a bit different, you know. It always had a little bit of a. I quite like his voice. You
yeah.
know? It's like it. And it's a bit sort of dancey and, you know, it really heavily compressed. And there's a lot of power in the mix, you know, there really is. And when I listen to these mixes, like Enter Shakira, it's like, you know, there's a lot of power there that. We don't tend to utilise. We sort of, our sound is a little bit more dynamic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so it's not so compressed.
Yeah, it's not as compressed. And I'm, you know, I listen to it, I think, well, perhaps we should do that next time, something a bit more full on and compressed. But every time I hear a track of ours that's compressed to fuck, it sort of, it always sounds squashed, like an elephant sat on it, and I can't hear the detail.
So you can't quite shoot.
Yeah, but you know, it's just me. But anyway, there you go.
Well, Paul Epworth, actually, this single, this is the album version we played, but Paul Epworth actually produced the single version, which was 30 seconds longer and had an extended instrumental.
Paul Epworth, of course, produced Adele and wrote some of the songs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the producer
of that era.
Of
course, we know Mary Epworth, his sister. Pretty well. Mary's lovely.
We saw a gig. You've met her a few times, haven't we? And we saw her play at the Castle in Alden Street in Manchester.
Yeah, really
lovely.
Cool. Yeah.
Will.
Yeah, really cool.
Really lovely people. So Friendly Fires, then, they were shortlisted for the Mercury Music Prize in 2009. And the thing I love about the Mercury Prize is that it's not about sales.
Hmm.
It's about the songwriting, apparently. Well, that's what it says. I mean, obviously, there's a panel of artists as well. And they were also nominated for two Brit Awards in 2010 for Best British Group and British Breakthrough Act.
And the reason why we're featuring them is that they're from St Albans.
St Albans, mate.
Yeah. And they met at school, didn't they?
Yeah.
St Albans School, age of 13, formed the first band. A post-hardcore outfit called First Day Back, covering songs by Green Day, another great man, and other rock-like artists, and influenced by the German techno label Compact, Carl Craig and Prince. And you can hear a little bit of Prince in that, you know? You really can. Anyway, there we go.
So I love that. So they left university and they loved like this, I love it, lush shoegaze melodies and dance music. And the name Friendly Fires originates from the opening track of the Section 25 LP, Always Now. Factory Records.
In my vast sleep, I opened my eyes to take a peep, to find I was by the sea, gazing with tranquility. Was then that the hurdy-gurdy man come singing his songs. And when the hurdy-gurdy man come singing the songs of love. Is found, awakening the hurdy-gurdy man.
songs of love. And when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing the songs, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang.
Hurdy-gurdy man from the compilation album The Incredible Musical Odyssey of the Original Hurdy-gurdy Man, released in 2003 on RPM Records. Of course, written by Great Donovan.
Yeah.
Who you've seen live.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Name check Donovan.
And the thing is, again, about that, it sounds like there's a million elephants sat on that bass. Lovely bass line.
Yeah.
But it's so compressed out of... you know, it's one of them things. That's the way music seems to sound at the moment. So, anyway, back to this.
Mac was a complete discovery for me. St. Albans.
Yeah.
Absolute gem of a chap. He was born Keith, actually. He lived at the Berries and was known on the St. Albans music scene and hung around with the Zombies, the Kinks and Donovan in the 60s.
Ah.
And the highlights of Mac's career include supporting Pink Floyd, making it into top industry magazines NME and Melody Maker. And there's a Beatles connection, which we can go into in a bit. But he was a talented folk and blues guitarist and songwriter. And he was one of the few finger pickers around. So he appeared at the Cock.
Of course.
The Horn. Now, what's going on with St. Albans with all these names?
The Cock and the Horn.
And the Peahen. And he played with local musicians over decades in several bands. And he was an early influence on Donovan. And this is a great story. It's almost like he was the basis for the original lineup of Hurdy Gurdy, which was a Danish trio, which was formed really influenced by Cream at the time. And they had great success in Scandinavia, and which inspired Donovan to write the song The Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Wow.
So he was writing about Mac in the band Hurdy Gurdy.
Blimey.
He got deported, Mac. That's why, because he didn't have a visa or something in Denmark, so they deported him.
Uh-oh.
So, I know. And then the band came over here and they couldn't get work permits, and it just turned funny. So anyway. But and then Mac later worked with Argent, recorded a couple of tracks, including Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac taught Donovan clawhammer style and fingerpick techniques, and lots of songs from his folk and blues heroes.
This whole clawhammer thing's interesting, you know, because that's a banjo technique from the Appalachian.
Yeah.
And I remember when Andy Seward was doing the Knife, the album with us, he was producing it, and he
your solo album, yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to sell me his banjo.
Yeah.
and it was a lovely banjo, very expensive. There is such a thing as a lovely banjo. But he was talking about the clawhammer technique, which always reminds me of something like from Kill Bill.
I know,
you
the
know,
hand,
like,
isn't it?
Ah! Anyway.
So there's this... So this is St. Albans, brilliant. And so we've got an indirect connection to the Beatles here, because Donovan had written a song for Mac before he went to India with the Beatles.
Ah.
And he handed him a demo of the Hurdy-Gurdy to Mac to work from. And he and Donovan's vision for it is that he wanted it to be a gentle and angelic sort of song, but Hurdy-Gurdy were more like Cream, and it turns out a bit heavy metal-ish. And, but when he was actually in India, Donovan was taught John Lennon and Paul McCartney the finger-picking styles that he'd learned from Mac.
Ah.
And this resulted in songs like Julia and Blackbird Singing in the Dead of
Night. No.
Of course. Yeah. From the White Album. And Donovan also said that George Harrison added an extra verse to the Hurdy-Gurdy Man song while they were in India.
Wonderful. What a great story.
The taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me. So pleasantly live this life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon in the summertime, in the summertime, in the summertime.
My girlfriend's run up with my car and gone back to her ma and pa, telling tales of drunkenness and cruelty. Now I'm sitting here, sipping at my ice cold beer, blazing on the sunny afternoon.
Help me, help me, help me.
Kinks. Sunny Afternoon released as a single on the 3rd of June 1966 on Pi Records in the UK and Reprise in the USA. And it went to number one on the singles charts on the 7th of July 1966, the day before I was born.
No.
Yeah, so it was number one when I was born. I was so excited when I read that today. I'm like, really? How
holy
cool
shit.
Is that? And it's funny, and it featured on their fourth album, Face to Face, which was released a few months later. And I saw Ray Davies in concert, you know, at the Bridgewater Hall.
Was he good?
Yeah, but I didn't realise how... I didn't know any of his history. I just got...
Yeah, he's a real big cheese and he's written some incredible
songs. He swaggered
onto
stage and I didn't really know who he was.
No. Well, this was produced by Shel Talmy, of course,
yes.
who produced My Generation by The Who, yeah. and also You Really Got Me, The Kinks,
yeah.
which apparently Jimmy Page played the guitar solo on. But anyway, let's not talk about that.
Shel
Talmy.
Yeah, I know, I saw his name earlier and I had
really,
a
really
look at
cool
him.
Producer, really American guy. Yeah, but the Kinks, what can you say about them? Amazing. But the connection is that Jim Rodford joined the band in 1976, didn't he? 78. Yeah,
yeah.
From and Jim, of course, from St Albans. And this show tonight is all about St Albans and the fact that we're playing the Pioneer Club on the 29th of September.
We start off our tour.
First gig for the tour, yeah. So we're looking forward to meeting all these beautiful people, all the lot from Enter Shikari and all that lot. I'm sure they're going to be there, or some of them anyway, which would be great, and Jez and all our friends. And so buy tickets, it's going to be a great evening, it's a great place, it's a big venue and a big light show and stuff. So, and we're playing with our new drummer, Ugu Danin, you know, who featured on the track earlier on that you heard from our new album, which is available, of course, now to buy and pre-order from starlight-campbell.com. So there you are. And, of course, this show is on Substack, which is vibes.starlight-campbell.com as well, where we also write about stuff. And it's really, really cool. We're having a great time at the moment, aren't we? So producing stuff.
Yeah, I feel very inspired, actually. And so the vinyl lacquers were cut, as we said at Abbey Road yesterday. And it's milky clear. And apparently the producers were saying that's the best quality vinyl you can get at the moment.
That's right, yeah, because you think black is, but we were wrong. I think the reason why we're like black is that we wear black, and Hummock is also black. One of our black, our Labradors, black. You know, the desk art's dressed in black.
It's so funny, I know. Hotel.
But but apparently Milky Clear is the best thing, and it's really cool because I've never seen one.
No.
In the flesh. So we're going to have this album. The cover, it's like Love the Gatefold on vinyl, and we're getting a really lovely CD done as well.
Yeah, special artwork as well from me on the inside.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's only going to be released digitally through Bandcamp, which is interesting. But if you sign up to our newsletters, you'll see all about this.
Yeah, because the thing is, we're independent artists, and we're not going to stream this time.
Yeah.
And it's because we want relationships with you, actually, because there's so much noise out there. It's like, nah, we're going to go on tour, going to rock out.
But it's the end of the show.
Oh, no. I better finish with a quote then. Ray Davis, great quote from him. He said one sunny afternoon, right, he walked into a British Legion club and all these old soldiers and people were singing the song. He thought, I'm only 23. And this old guy came up to him and said, you guys, this is the sort of music we can relate to. And he laughed to himself and thought, this is it. It's the end.